Bobby Joe and I were talking a minute ago about, we're going to sing a song, and it's about God's love across the universe, and I want to challenge you today. It's so easy to get caught up in the negative things of the world, and, you know, you get up every day, you might look at CNN, I'm guilty of that, and it can put you in a bad mood, it can put you into some negative thoughts right away, but what I want you to hold on to today is that God's love is all across the universe, and it holds things together, and we're here today as a body of believers. And that love and that grace and the mercy that God shows us every single day. We got a good day today. Like I said, we got Leif and Liam Tackle are going to get baptized today, a father-son thing. That's really cool. I'm looking forward to that. So if you guys will stand and let's worship.
fortune lies beyond the stars. Those dazzling heights too fast to climb. I got so high to fall so far. But I found heaven as love swept low.
Idea that we've got to strive for, because you're already here, God. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you, desperate for you, I surrender. Thank you.
What do you hear him whispering into your heart right now? We're singing, I surrender, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I want to know you. And the only place that comes from is from our choice to meditate on that and to let it grow in us. We're about to sing something that describes God's love, and that's what he is, that's who he is, that's all he's capable of doing. And we come from him, so that means that's what we are too. So when we ask you today, God, to show us more of you so that we can become more like you, these are the words that we carry with us. In this moment, in this stillness, in this time that we have together here, this is where you get to lay it down. This is where you get to surrender. It's where you get to find your rest in him. And then he becomes your rest. He becomes all the love that's pouring out of your life. He is all the goodness that's inside of you. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Unrestrained, your love is wild. Your love is wild for me. It isn't shy, it's unashamed. Your love is proud to be seen. You don't give your heart in peace.
Everything down today, and we pour all of our praise on you. I love your sweet, sweet presence in this place today. It's a busy day, but you call us to slow down and to be still and to feel you and to love you and to receive all of your love for us. And we rest in that today, Father. We love you.
Turn that on. Off. Well, that song gets me every time. He doesn't give his heart in pieces, he gives it all. Have you given your heart in pieces? Every now and then, we all do that. We'll give it our all. Right? Let me compose myself and we'll get on. So, wow. You're a good-looking crowd. Glad you're here. Makes it a whole lot easier when people show up. Gonna ask Isaac and Leah, gonna be coming to bring their little one for dedication this morning, and whomever else wanna come, y'all just come on down. And I love dedicating babies. I was thinking, Leah, doing praise and worship, especially in that song, "You Don't Give Your Heart in Pieces." And I know that you you wondered for years what would is going to happen on this side, and I'll balance it out. Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. But you waited on God, and now you have all of this. And so that's how good God is. And he loves us that much and didn't give his heart in pieces. The Bible says about little ones, you got to understand that when children, they've always been, we're eternal beings. You always have been, always will be. And she was in heaven before she got here. And the greatest thing God ever did, he says, children are a gift from the Lord. And he chose you and you. He chose the two of you to have her. Isn't that awesome? As the scripture says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, your strength will support me. I could ask darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all our delicate inner parts of my body, knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. And I practiced all week getting your name right, because her name is Isla, and it looks like Isla. And so Barbara wrote it out for me. Says, don't say Isla or Isla. It's Isla. And she wrote out I and then La. So I got your name down really good. But Isla means, comes from the word from island. And it talks about adventure. It talks about fun. Oh, yeah, I like that. I love islands, don't you? And Grace is favored one. And so you're going to live just wonderful, adventurous life. Got the hiccups too, no? And you're going to have a favored life, a beautiful life. Excuse me. So we christen you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We lift you up to God who gave you to us. And we thank God for you. And you are going to have a wonderful, wonderful life. And just as God gives them to you, you give them back to God, and he gives them back to you. He says, now, raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Oh, I forgot that too. Bless you, man. Bless you, Granddad.
Thank you.
Nothing like being a grandparent. Parents good, but grands are better. That's why they call us grand. We're going to continue our series. Let me back up for a minute and catch up some of you. Some of you hadn't been here in a while, so you need to be caught up. But we started a series this year called The Banquet, and taken out of a passage of scripture in Luke when Jesus said, go invite people to my banquet. And they went out and they invited people. And some of them said, I can't come. I bought some land and I got to go see it. Some said, I bought some oxen and I got to go prove them. One said, I married a wife. The only excuse that was legitimate was that one. And said, I can't come. And he said, well, go out and find people that's hurting. Go find the blind, the broken, the lame. Go find people that know they need a banquet. Go find them. And they went out and they came back and said, we went out and we did as you said, and we found some people, and they have come. But there's still room. It's still not full. Then Jesus said, well, do this. Go out and find people who are way out there, who are, he says, behind the hedges. Go out into the byways and the hedges and find them and bring them in, because I want my house to be full. And they went out and they found people that were hurting because they'd had bad relationships. And they were hurting and they were hiding behind the hedges because they had been hurt. Because that's what hurting people do. They hide. You know, I heard the statement one time, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. There's nothing more rewarding than relationships, and there's nothing more painful than relationships. Nothing more rewarding and nothing more painful, because nobody can hurt you unless you're in relationship with them. No one can hurt you unless you really care about them. I don't matter to me what anybody says about me. They can say it to me behind my back. They can call me whatever they want to call me. If I'm not in a relationship with you, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. But if my wife says something about me, or if Will says something about me, or if Chris says something about me that can hurt me deeply because I love them and I'm in relationship with them. My wife told me years ago, she was having a tough time with me. She said, I'm going to go pack my bags and leave. I said, well, pack mine while you're at it, because I'm not staying here by myself. So I love, and that really it did happen. I love relationships, and I'd gotten used to her, and I wasn't about to stay there by myself. You ever heard the song, all by myself? I don't want to be all by myself. No, nobody wants to be. I'm kicking this off right. Relationships are critical. They're important. They mean everything. And so today I want to talk to you. You know, last week we talked about marriage. If you wasn't here, I took the Ten Commandments and applied it to marriage. Have no other gods before me. Don't put anybody else before you. Don't take my name in vain. Don't call them names. Don't have an idol. Don't let fishing and golf be your idol. I've known divorces happen over golf and fishing. Yeah. He says, keep it holy. Don't kill. Don't kill their dreams. Don't steal. Don't steal their joy. But the one commandment that I thought I couldn't have, that didn't make any sense, was don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And I asked the Lord, how can I apply that to a marriage? He says, don't bring negativity into your home. Don't talk about other people. Don't say negative, critical things, because you think you may be talking about somebody else, but what you're doing, you're embracing that and you're bringing it into your home. Yes, sir. You can ask Barbara, you can ask Dusty. I raised them both. I just raised Dusty. Well, I kind of raised Barbara. She was pretty young when we got married. So, but anyway, I made this thing in our home. No negativity. No critical spirit. Don't come in here and talk about anybody, not bringing that stuff in this house. This is our home. We want to embrace all good stuff. Jesus taught, I'm going to teach on one verse this morning, apply some others to it. But Jesus, this is the greatest statement Jesus ever made, what we're about to read. And it's in Matt. I used to teach at least once a year the Sermon on the Mount. I may do that again this year because it covers the gamut of relationships. But in Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. That's a strong. This is everything. This is the essence of it all. Now, I'm going to show you why. I've taught this before. But I'm going to show you why that statement is so powerful. Probably the most universally famous thing Jesus ever said was that. With this statement, the Sermon on the Mount reaches its summit, the capstone of the whole discourse, the topmost peak of social ethics, the Everest of all ethical teaching. The Everest of all ethical teaching. He didn't come about it in a negative form. There's a negative form of teaching that most religions practice. Jesus puts it in a positive. How many has ever heard thou shalt not? Anybody ever heard that one? You can't do this, you can't do that. How many ever heard it? You can do this. You can. See, Christianity is not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I came to give you goodness, good things. Confucius said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. How many know that's a great statement? But it's not positive. It's just telling you what not to do. It's not telling you to do anything. Socrates said, what stirs your anger when done to you by others, do not do to others. What ticks you off, don't tick other people off. Shammai said, what is hateful to yourself, do not do to others. See, it's one thing to say I must not injure people. It's quite another to go out of my way to help people and be kind to them. Refraining from doing things is much easier than doing things. I could just close this up right here. We left and did this. We got the essence of everything. It's going out of your way to do good. It's not, I'm not going to say bad things about you. It's not just, I'm not going to not do this. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to go out of my way to be a blessing to you. I'm going to not just not hate you. I'm going to love you. Now, how can I do this? How can I put myself into this place that I do unto others as I would have them to do unto me? The principles is in this, surrounded before the statement and after the statement. In Matthew 7, 1 through 6, Jesus says this, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is a standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of your speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your eye? In other words, when I get, I never understood this one. We'll read it. Forgot it was up there. That's why. I really don't know what this means, but we're going to read it. Hypocrites, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck. I know that part. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They'll trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. I don't know what that means. I think, Ralph, don't try to give people positive stuff when all they want is negative. What's a hog going to do with a pearl? What's he going to do with a pearl? You want to preach this? That's good. He's not going to. Now, all right, we're getting a revelation of it. Hogs don't care about positive stuff. They don't care about what's right or wrong. They just don't care. They just want to stay in the mud and the slop. Oh, all right. Now I'm getting it. They just want to stay and wallow in their pity. I'm getting it now. All right. Well, they just want to just wallow in the mire. And the scripture says he came to reach that down and take us out of the miry clay and put our feet on a solid rock to stay. Yeah, now we got it. He wants to get you out of the slop and bring you up to the top. Man. Take you out. See, that's the scripture. He reached down, took us out of the miry clay, placed our feet on a solid ground. That's good stuff. Then he says, after that, keep on asking and you'll receive. Keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking, the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. So everyone who knocks, the door will be open. This is not saying, God, give me this, God, give me this, God, give me this, God, give me this. Seeking, 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 knocking, knocking, knocking. He's saying, you want to live this life? You better keep on seeking it. You better keep on asking. You better keep on knocking, because this stuff ain't easy. It's easy to hate. It's easy to judge. It's easy to see the negative. That's easy stuff. It's hard to look at a world that everybody else says is going to hell in a handbasket, which I never understood. I don't know what that means by any stretch of the imagination. And it's not going to hell in a handbasket. It's going to heaven. Yes, sir. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And then in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gates wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few find it. It's the few who see life in the proper perspective. There's a Psalm 15. And the psalmist said this, who shall abide in your tabernacle, O Lord? Who shall stand on your holy hill? He that worketh righteousness, he that walks uprightly, he speaks the truth in his heart. He backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil unto his neighbor, neither brings a reproach against his neighbor. He swears to his own hurt, and he does not change. He that does these things, he says, shall stand forever. They will never fall. Because when you stand on the hill, you're either a hill person or a hole person. H-O-L-E. I've never stood on a peak anywhere. I've never stood in a high place and looked out across nature and went, oh, that's so ugly. Never. You stand and you look and you see the beauty. One of the prettiest sights I've ever saw was in Santo Domingo, and we was on a road trip and was going over this mountain, and we happened to catch a peak. And I said, stop, stop. We got out and we stood. And we overlooked the Caribbean and this gorgeous, beautiful sight, because we were standing from the peak. When you stand at the top of the hill, you see the beautiful world that it really is. But when you're in a hole, all you see is darkness. God, lift us up where we belong. That's a song, isn't it? Where eagles fly on the mountain high. Lord, lift us up where we belong. No. Blow. Y'all with me? All right. Whew, this has been, I'm glad I came. We're going to close this out with this scripture, Acts chapter 10. Once we were safe on shore, Paul was shipwrecked. It came to an isle called Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on a fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not prevent him to live. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. You know, some people waiting on you that happen to you. Right, Billy? Everybody don't love you. And it's amazing. And he said, but when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. It's amazing they go from saying you're a murderer to you're a god. He's a thief, he's a murderer, now he's a god. Near the shore where he landed was an estate belonging to Publius, I guess, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius' father was ill in fever and dysentery. Paul went in, prayed for him. Laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors. When the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. The trip that you and I own is a journey of life. And in this journey of life, there's going to be snakes that's going to attach themselves to you. They're going to try to put their venomous poison into you. They're going to say things. They're going to bite you, and you have one response to that: shake it off. You ever heard? I'm sure that everybody here has said it at least once to somebody in your lifetime. You got to shake that off, man. You got to shake that off. You can't let this continue to harm you. Shake it off. Somebody, everybody, just go shake it off. Shake it off. You're not going to remember anything this week. Sometime this week, you're going to remember, shake it off. Shake it off. Because if you shake it off, it won't affect you. If you shake it off, it won't affect you. But if you don't, it will get into your innermost being, and the poison will start to work its effect in your life. You see, you got to get to the place where you love the things you should love and you hate some things that you should hate. See, can I just be real for a moment? You know I am. It may feel good to just give somebody your peace of mind. It may feel good for you to just let them have it. It may feel good for you, but you know what it's doing to you is different. It may feel good, but what it's going to do to you is way worse than what it's doing for you. I heard a guy say, I love what Doritos do for me, but I hate what they do to me. Ain't nothing like a bag of Doritos at 2:00 in the morning. Nothing like, I mean, Barbara one time, Baron, what are you doing? You sound like you're making love with them Doritos. Nothing, what it does for me, but what it does to me. Are you with me? You see, anger may feel good at the moment, but what it's doing for you at that moment is going to do to you a lot worse in the end. So you got to hate some things as much as you love some things. And if you hate what it does to you, it will get to the place where you'll be able to do what's best for you. I guess you got to hate what it does to you before you can get to the place that you really appreciate what doing the right thing does for you. And here's the process. Paul shakes off the snake. I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm not going to let this poison do what it's meant and wanted to do. And then he says, I'm just going to do something for other people. So here he goes. He shakes off the snake and starts healing people. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm going to shake off the criticism. I'm going to shake off what's being done to me in the negative, and I'm going to go and do the good to other people. And so he shook off the poison and he started healing people. And after he started healing people, they changed their mind about him and said, he's a good guy. Your enemy will call you good if you treat them right. The Bible says, do good to your enemies. Said it's like taking a coal of fire and putting it on their head. And I used to read that in Romans 12 and think, Ralph, oh, it'll burn them up if you do good to them. No, it warms them up. The fire, or the coals of fire on their head is to warm their heart. Doing good to people will warm them up. You be kind to those who are unkind and be amazed how they'll change. Yes, sir. We're called to do that. We're different. And because he shook off the poison, healed other people, to finish his journey, his trip, they gave him everything and more than they needed for the trip. Everything. Your future, the journey, the trip is going to be better, Joe, if you just be kind. Be kind. Be kind. Be kind to people. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. One of my favorite movies is, I can't think of the name of it. It's, he was a bouncer. He was Roadhouse. I ain't asking to go see Roadhouse. But I liked it part when he took all the other bouncers and he got with them. He says, now, there's going to be some stuff going on here, but take them, escort them to the door, but be nice. Be nice. Be not. Can't we just be kind and nice to one another? And if we do that, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will men give to you. And that has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with love and kindness, gentleness, forgiveness. If you give that, it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I did not come to condemn the world. I come that the world might be saved. I came that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. And I'll say this again. You can walk out of here today with a great intention and a great thought. I'm not going to do harm to people. And that's good. But if you want to really see it work, put it in a positive. Don't just not do evil. Don't just not say critical things. Go and be. Do it. Be kind. Be loving. Be considerate. Be understanding. Be kind. Amen? Amen. Glad you came. It's good scriptures. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this is the essence of all the laws and all the prophets have said. This is everything. The reason this world is standing today, the reason, hear this, the reason this world is standing today is because there are more people doing good than not. Don't you believe the devil's lie. Don't you believe the news media. Don't you believe what everybody else is saying. The world is better than it's ever been, and it's getting better than it will ever be, because there's more people doing good than they are doing bad. Much more. And don't think, for every act of kindness that you do, every one of them, you just send out into the universe all kinds of good vibes, all kind of good stuff. And it overcomes darkness. Church would just be the church. The world would be the church. That was good. Don't just believe it. James said the devil believes and he trembles. That's not a big deal to believe it. It's a whole big deal to do it. Don't just believe it. Act upon it. Don't just believe that Jesus said that, because you know he did. What am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Well, if people just be kind to me, I'll be kind to them. No, that's not what he said. Nope. He even said, if you get slapped on the cheek, turn it. Let him hit you again. If you're an artist, don't believe in that. Well, I can't help you. Nobody else can either. But that's what he said. And it works. Billy, years ago, loved golfing. His hands were so full of arthritis. Can I tell that story, Billy? So full of arthritis that he had to build up his grips and just build them up so big to play golf. But when he dealt with some issues in his heart, dealt with some forgiveness and some anger, some stuff he had to deal with, it went away. Because what he was holding on was affecting him more than it was the people that was affecting. Be amazed what will happen to you physically when you let it go. When you let it go. You let it go. I said this for the last few weeks, and I'm going to say it one more time. Forgiveness is not for your past. It's for your future. No forgiveness is going to change. If I hurt Joe, if I hurt him, and he forgives me, it's not going to do away with the fact I hurt him. The past is the past. There's nothing's going to change. But what's going to change is his future. That he's not going to carry something in his future that's going to torment him until he lets it go. You got to let it go. You got to shake it off. It's for your sake. You know, I never understood this scripture. Forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you, for Christ's sake. See, he died for our sins, to forgive us for our sins. And for his sake, he forgave us. Oh, whoa. Whew. I love it when I get like this. I just want to soak this up for a moment. Because the same ones who beat him, spit on him, nailed him to the cross, persecuted him, ridiculed him, shamed him in front of everybody, put him up on a cross naked, pierced his side, put a crown of thorns on his head, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For his sake, he forgave them. Because you know what would have happened if he had not forgiven them? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. There was literally thousands and thousands of angels surrounding the cross with swords drawn. And at his word, they would have come and got him. And take them off that cross. Because Jesus himself said, don't you know I can call legions of angels right now and stop this? but I'm going to forgive you. Bow your heads. You're here this morning. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to come down today. I want you to right where you are. But you know you need to do that. You need to do to others what you would like for them to do to you. Would you just raise your hand? It may be something you need, somebody you need to forgive. Whatever. Just lift your hand up and say, I'm choosing today to do what Jesus said to do. Would you just lift your hand? God bless you. Bless you. Amen. Now, everybody, look at me. This is what... See, it's not for the... I want you to say in your heart and your spirit, I forgive for my sake. So that things will go well with me. So I won't carry this into my future. But I'm going to go into my future with a lot of stuff that's going to be given to me to make this journey called life. And it's all going to be good. I've been pastoring for 40 years. And it's taken a consistent life. I've been ridiculed. I've been persecuted. I've been talked about. I've been in restaurants and heard another table talking about me and criticizing me. I shake it off. Ain't carrying that stuff. I'm not carrying it. You're going to find in your future everything you need for the journey. Amen. It's good. I see it in you today. You're getting it. I was riding down the road the other day and I started thanking God. And I just started thanking God for you. I said, God, thank you for people who are getting it. Thank you for people who really care. Thank you for people who really are loving. Thank you for people who really exude goodness. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to say thank you for being who you are. You're making a difference in the world. You're making a difference in the world. Amen. Ushers are coming. I'm going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Then we got a water baptism. Ain't that cool? Yeah. I always tell the ushers, I use them sitting over here when they pass the bucket. And it always bothers me because they pass the bucket by me and I don't put anything in. And so almost without fail, every time they come by me, I said, I gave at the office. And I really did. We give on Wednesday. It's when we get paid. So that's when we give. First check we write, or Bobby writes. I tried to write a check to you the other day, Joe, and I couldn't write. I did write it. You got it. But I had a hard time writing the check because I don't ever write them, but Barbara writes them. So I did give at the office, and I'm glad you gave this morning. And the Bible says if you bring the tithes and the offerings into my storehouse, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for this baptism. Thank you, God, for a people who just are seeking after you and asking and knocking, Lord, for these good things to happen in their life. Thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.